We'll call this meeting to order. You can all please have a seat. All right, members. Good morning. Thank you for being here bright and early so we can get going. We're going to start out with a few testifiers to talk about the Anoka County Vikings proposal, and then we will go on to some committee discussion. And like I said yesterday, we'll be prepared then, I think, to roll up our sleeves and actually start getting some real work done here. So with that, I want to welcome Representative Andy Westerberg, and he has a few opening comments he'd like to make. Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the conference committee. I'm going to be really short, but I just want to kind of build a little bit of the background here of this particular issue. I'm the chief author of the Anoka County Stadium in Blaine for the House, and as such, I just want to remind you a little bit of some of the things that we're trying to do with this bill. First of all, I want to talk about the Metrodome, and I want you to stop and think about the first time you walked into the Metrodome, what it felt like, and what you saw, because it was an awesome experience for almost all of us. And most of us would call our friends and relatives, and we'd be, you know, thrilled to take them there to show them that facility. I thought of it as one of the wonders of the world. And it cost $55 million to build back in 1982, but it's been a tremendous success story from the day that we went ahead and did that. And I wonder how many of us here would have had the strength and courage to vote for the Metrodome back in the 1970s. Today, it doesn't cut it. Even the restrooms are inadequate. Today's Metrodome cannot compete on a national basis. Super Bowls, Final Fours, large conventions and shows seating up to 70,000 people, Big Ten basketball tournaments, or possibly even Olympic bids. This facility cannot compete on a national basis. Would you agree with me that the Twins are going to leave the Metrodome? I think that's going to happen. The Metrodome will lose two major tenants, teams that play 80 to 90 days per year in the Metrodome. And the Vikings only need the Metrodome for 10 games per year. You can see that the Metrodome's days are numbered. And if so, please help us find a solution. The city of Blaine, the county of Anoka, and the Vikings have worked very hard to find a solution. The problem is they cannot do it by themselves. Even the governor and the governor's stadium task force came up with a solution requiring one-third from the team, one-third from the local host community, and one-third involvement from the state of Minnesota. And that one-third involvement was on a but-for basis, using revenue that would only be here because the team is here. This project is of statewide significance. This stadium is different than the other two stadiums. The other two stadium plans are both great. The other stadiums are called public facilities. But this one is actually used by the public. Even things like roller skating in winter and high school football. A deal was made with the Vikings contributing $280 million. $280 million. And the Vikings would pay rent for each of the games, each of their 10 games there, because they do not own the facility. Because the stadium is a state asset, we should be considering bonding for the building, or at least the roof. Why ask the Vikings to pay for a roof when they will use the facility for 10 days per year? 10 out of 365 days. Anoka County, being five times smaller than Hennepin County, It does not have the financial strength to do this project alone. We need some kind of help from the state. Now, some people think the Vikings deal can wait. Their lease isn't up till 2011. I will agree that the Twins are our number one priority due to time constraints. However, we have already moved forward the Gopher Stadium for the university. That project provides the least economic benefit for the team that cannot leave our state. Conferees, it is very possible that this deal will not be here next year. This vacant land, approximately 200 acres in Blaine just for the stadium campus, compared to the limited 20 acres that the current Metrodome uses, will probably go away and be developed. But even if the land can be held or tied up, material costs cannot be held. Labor costs cannot be held. Interest rates cannot be held. Costs will go up a minimum of $30 million per year. So you see, time is of the essence here also. We do have a good plan to replace the Metrodome. We do have a good plan that works for the Vikings. We do have a good plan that works for the city of Blaine, Anoka County, and the citizens of Minnesota. Please help us get her done. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Westerberg. I want to point out to the conferees that you will not find anyone with more passion on this issue than Representative Westerberg. He has worked his tail off over the last years on this issue. So, Representative Westerberg, I thank you for your hard work, and I look forward to working with you and your ideas in the next few days. Are there any questions for Representative Westerberg? Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Westerberg, we had a brief conversation earlier in the conference committee proceedings on the possibility of moving a parallel Vikings bill. Would you just tell the conference committee the status of your bill in the House and whether you have a sense procedurally whether we could move that as a vehicle should the conference committee try to recommend to the bodies some kind of action on the Vikings?
Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Kelly, as far as the stadium bill goes in the House, currently it was last heard in government ops, and it's been forwarded to local government where it has to go through rules first because of the time delay. It's one of those things with this being a short bonding session and all the work that we put into the other stadiums, the Viking Stadium hasn't received, you know, adequate time for many of its hearings. And so it's something where I think that if we could be successful in coming out of this committee with that bill to be heard in the House, we would be extremely thrilled with that opportunity. We're searching for any type of a solution and willing to work with you.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Westerberg, so does that mean the bill is now currently in the possession of the Rules Committee in the House?
That's correct.
Representative Westerberg, you just alluded to this, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but you said the bill as it sits in the Rules Committee, that would be the form or the type of bill that you would like to move through the process if we were to somehow get to an agreement from this conference committee that we could do some parallel tracking with the bills? Is that what you're telling us, or are you, in your comments you talked about, you know, considering bonding for the roof. We've heard in the past the TIF on the sales tax for the roof. We've heard no roof. Do you and the county and the Vikings have, are you heading towards a unified position on that so that we could move something that all areas, all different groups would agree upon? Representative West.
Mr. Chair, yes, I think that we are, and you bring up a really good point, you know, because there are many things that are being discussed as far as exactly how this bill should proceed. Keep in mind that the current bill that's before the House right now is 41% the local host community, 41% the team, and 18% contribution from the state of Minnesota under the but-for argument. That has run into some opposition because of the fact that it requires a sales tax TIF. However, I want you to know that we're still trying to find, we're searching a number of different solutions to this problem, and we're open to anything that we feel, you know, will be successful. But we're looking for guidance from the conference committee, too, to some extent, because if you guys were to come through with a recommendation that you felt would work, recognizing that we have both the House and the Senate here at this table, we'd feel confident that we would have the direction that we need in order to bring this project to fruition.
Thank you, Representative Westerberg. And I can't help but use one of these sports analogies that we're in the fourth quarter, there's 3 seconds left, and we have about a 45-yard field goal to kick. So we have little time and a big job ahead of us, but thank you.
We know you can do it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to brief you on the Senate status, the Senate companion, I carry the Senate companion to Representative Westerberg's bill. That's also in the Senate Rules Committee. That's where it is because it came out of the State and Local Government Committee in the Senate. The language in the Senate bill is almost identical, I believe, to what's in Representative Westerberg's bill. But, of course, since in order to proceed on any stadium bill, there's going to be a tax increase somewhere. It's what happened in the Twins bill. And so the Senate opted to put the Vikings bill, the language onto the Twins bill, simply because to keep it alive. If we had not done so, clearly the Vikings issue would be completely dead by this time. And so it's alive. If it's the will of the House to proceed, I'm sure the Senate would be more than happy to move expeditiously to get the thing even to the same conference committee. But we need the green jacket from the House to do that. So,
Senator Higgins.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And Representative Westerberg, your bills and rules needs to go to state and local government, mm-hmm. And then ways and means and taxes.
Ways and means and taxes.
Do the rules of the House allow you to skip any of those committees along the way and just get it to the last committee if you needed to?
Representative Westbrook.
Mr. Chairman, or Senator Higgins, yes, my understanding is that actually rules can send the bill directly to the House floor if they so choose to do.
Any further questions, members? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Westbrook.
Thank you very much.
We'll now have Commissioner Tagliabue and Mr. Bagley with the Vikings come up. Commissioner, welcome to Minnesota.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Bagley, if you'd proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you very much for the opportunity again to be here this morning. Mr. Wilf has some airplane issues. He is on his way to Minnesota, so he will be here yet this morning. I'm not sure he'll be here before the committee, but he will be at the Capitol today. Before I introduce briefly the commissioner, just I would kind of echo what Representative Westerberg said in terms of our work. We do have our sleeves rolled up. We are looking at ways to try to bridge the gap. We're looking along the lines of kind of the user fees, maybe taxes paid in the stadium on concessions and things like that. So I don't have a proposal to recommend this morning, but we're working on it, and hopefully very shortly we can give a report on that. But it's my honor today to get to introduce the commissioner of the National Football League, Paul Tagliabue. Commissioner Tagliabue has been here before. He's testified in front of committees, stadium task force forces, and has met with many of you in the past. At the end of July, the commissioner is ending his 17-year tenure as the commissioner of the National Football League. And Commissioner Tagliabue's term as commissioner has been marked by unprecedented labor peace and a tremendous progress in stadium development throughout the United States. And there's a lot more on his resume and bio and record to talk about, but I think we'd get right to him. In terms of media availability, following the commissioner's testimony, he will be available probably in the hallway, and I mean impromptu availability for media for anybody who has any questions directly of the commissioner. And with that, I would introduce Commissioner Paul Tagliabue.
Commissioner, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Co-Chairman Senator Kelly and members of the committee. I think my main purpose here today would be just to respond to your questions and concerns or issues, and to bring whatever perspective I can bring to your deliberations. I would just make a couple of preliminary remarks and then turn it back to you if that's okay. I guess the first thing I would say is that based on Chairman Finstead's comments about 3 seconds to go and 45-yard field goal, I should have brought Adam Vinatieri with me instead of Mr. Bagley. But that's a benefit of hindsight. As Mr. Bagley said, I've been commissioner since 1989, and I was involved as outside counsel for the league for 20 years before that, so I've been involved with the NFL for 37 years, which takes me back to Bernie Ritter and Jim Finks and Bud Grant and a lot of other icons in the league. In the 17 years that I've been commissioner, we've managed to work with local and county and state authorities and build or have major renovations of over 20 stadiums. So having majored in political science at Georgetown, I can tell you I've learned much more about American government in the last 17 years than I did in my 4 years at Georgetown. So I think I can understand the complexity of what it is you're trying to address and what it is you're trying to pull together. I first appeared, I think, in 1995 before one of the stadium task forces. I read last night on the plane on the way out a statement that I submitted on September 25, 1995 on these issues, and I guess the good news is that some of what I said has been proven to be true, and the other side of the coin is that a lot has changed in the last 11 years since then. But from my perspective, I think this is an ideal time for the state and other authorities to address the Minnesota Vikings stadium needs. I know that it's easy to say this is an ideal time and there is no other ideal time, but the reason I say that is I think right now there is relative certainty on a number of elements as to which certainty is hard to achieve and maintain, at least from my perspective. And specifically, right now we have in place television contracts that run out at least 6 years. And as you know, our league is unique in that we're the only league in the United States where all of the television revenue from the regular season and the postseason is shared equally among all the teams. So that's a matter of our structure, which no other league has, and it's a matter of some considerable importance to the Minnesota Vikings and other teams that are in medium-sized or smaller markets around the country, because they receive from and through the league an equal share of television that's the same as the teams in New York or Dallas or other much larger markets. The second thing is what Mr. Bagley has already referred to. We do have an extended collective bargaining agreement in place with our Players Association, which is an important partner to the teams and also provides us with some relative economic certainty in terms of player costs, at least for the next 4 seasons. The third thing is that in our structure we've had a league-sponsored or league-funded stadium loan program, which has been designed in the last decade to help teams work with the public sector, and has put the league in a position where we've been using some of our television revenues and other revenues to try to help bridge the gap between what a team owner can finance and what can realistically be expected in terms of public financing for a stadium. At the Vikings level, I think that Mr. Wilf has demonstrated that he's an extremely sound owner not only in terms of how he's been approaching this stadium project, but in, from my perspective, the critical thing is that he understands that his sports team, if it is going to be well supported and the fans are going to be passionate about the team, it has to be a community asset. And he came to owning the Vikings with that perspective the first time I ever met him. Most of his questions had to do with whether he and his family would enjoy this because they could see that it could be a community asset. And I think he will, during his stewardship of the Vikings, prove to be one of our outstanding owners from that perspective. On top of that, as has already been mentioned, he's committed to invest $280 million in the stadium along with Anoka County and to make a considerable larger investment in the broader economic development and retail project of which the stadium would be a part. I guess my final point would be that for reasons that go way beyond Minnesota and way beyond the United States, stadium costs are escalating dramatically. I have said many times that the person who belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for having helped us build 20 stadiums in the last 15 years is Alan Greenspan, because he and others kept interest rates low. But interest rates now are rising. The cost of steel, concrete, and other resources driven by fuel costs are escalating dramatically for reasons that have very little to do with what's going on in the United States and more to do with what's going on with global demand. So, as I say, from my perspective, there's relative certainty and there's a relatively strong alignment of all these elements. And so I would urge the committee to work with your fellow legislators to see whether it is not possible to get something done in this session. I'll be glad to take questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any questions, members?
Mr.
Senator Betzel.
Commissioner, maybe you could describe the reason why a stadium is so important. I mean, I think people in Minnesota understand the Metrodome is a football stadium, so it's not suited to play baseball in it. But I'm not sure people quite understand, well, what's wrong with the Metrodome? Why can't the Vikings play in it because it was designed as a football stadium? Why a new stadium? Perhaps you could talk about the changing economics of professional sports.
Well, I guess, first of all, from my perspective, I don't know that it was designed as a football stadium. It was, I think it's going to be a dual-purpose stadium from the beginning. And it has turned out to be a stadium that has proven for lots of different reasons to be inadequate. Several such stadiums were built in relatively close proximity to the Metrodome, one in Indianapolis and one in Seattle, and they were quickly overtaken by the development of stadiums and other entertainment venues in terms of quality, size, sight lines, and right now the stadium in Indianapolis is being replaced by a new retractable dome there. The stadium in Seattle, which was similar to the Metrodome, has been replaced by two stadiums, one for the baseball team with a retractable dome, one for the Seahawks, which is an open-air stadium. So I think, again, with the benefit of hindsight, we can see that what has proven to have staying power in terms of stadiums, both in terms of fan service, ability to compete with other sports, and generation of revenue, this particular model was not the best choice. You could go into a lot of specifics, but I think that these types of dome stadiums with a relatively small footprint, which were able to accommodate both baseball teams and football teams, have proven to be a model which, frankly, started to be overtaken when baseball moved into single-purpose baseball stadiums such as Camden Yards in Baltimore, and then that process proceeded around the country where baseball teams were moving into ideal small stadiums. We then started playing catch-up to build football stadiums, and it's come to be a reality as I say, both from fan service, ability to compete and serve your fans, and revenue generation, this type of stadium is inadequate. As part of that, we've had to move away from exclusive reliance or total reliance on public financing, and we've had to increasingly pick up in the private sector through the team ownership and the league a significant part of the cost of the facility. So that's been the trade-off in replacing those older stadiums. And I think that's reflected here in this Anoka County Vikings proposal and the contribution Mr. Wilk is making, not just to the stadium, but to the broader economic development project.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Chairman. Commissioner, two questions. First of all, I have a picture in my home office with you in 1992. And do I have to take it down in July now that you're leaving, or should I keep it up?
You could either take it down or throw darts at it.
The real question, you mentioned in your third comment that the league has a stadium loan program. Would you carry a conditional sales contract on a roof for $115 million?
Commissioner.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
The question is, we're trying to figure out how to finance things. And one of the things we talked about yesterday was we've got two holes. One was $115 to $125 million for a roof, and the other was $115 to $125 million for a new intersection on 35W. And both of those present big hurdles. Do you ever get involved in loans to stadiums? You said you had a program.
We would be lending money to the Vikings to help finance this stadium. We have a program that we put in place in the late 90s that has involved loans anywhere from, depending on the project and depending upon the total economics of the project, has involved loans, I would say, anywhere from $25 million to $150 million. On the, the $115 million for the roof or no roof, I think that's really a local decision. I don't have a perspective. The league doesn't have a fixed perspective on whether stadiums are better roofed, unroofed, or retractable roofed. It gets into a lot of different issues, including what the fans want. In the Vikings' own division, for example, you have two teams with open-air stadiums, the Packers and the Bears, and then you have one team with a fixed dome, the Lions. So that, I think, is really up to you all here in the legislature and to the team ownership and to Anoka County, assuming they would be the partner. The issue of the roads, again, I would defer to you. I know that enough about the highway infrastructure funds at the state level to know that that's something that I should leave to you and stay out of.
Commissioner,
because there are a lot of competing demands.
Commissioner, you mentioned that the NFL would be in partnership with Mr. Wilf in the 280 for the construction, and that would be in the form of a loan, correct?
It would be in the form of a loan, and those loans are funded, as I suggested earlier, both from we actually tax each of our teams a piece of their television revenue, so all of the other 31 teams would be contributing a portion of their television revenue into the loan fund, and then we finance those loans in other ways. I think from my perspective, the critical thing there is that this program is evolving. It's been under some pressure because in some situations where we've ended up is small market teams and lower revenue teams helping to subsidize the construction of stadiums in larger markets with high revenue. So there is some tension within the league as to the exact terms under which this program would continue, and in the future, my guess would be there would be some owners who would just as soon see this program terminate.
Representative Laney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, you, as I understand it, have some agreement with Mr. Wilf with regard to the league's participation and in his portion of the commitment that he's prepared to make. Is there a possibility that the league could help us in this situation any more than what you've already committed, either in the form of a loan or some grant possibility? And in answering that, I'd appreciate it if you would also indicate if the league has stepped in and helped other states, communities in a similar way in the past.
Commissioner.
No, I think that the clear answer and the accurate answer is that we would help the Vikings here, loan money to the Vikings under the program we've had in place, which is got some fixed standards and criteria. We have not departed from those standards and criteria. In order to have the program adopted and supported by our ownership, we've had to have a sort of an equal protection clause, and we've not been permitted to, when I say we, the owners themselves vote ultimately on the loans that are made within the framework of the program, but there's been no sentiment to depart from the fixed terms of the program itself and to try to provide equal protection to all the teams. To get this program in place, as I say, was very difficult because every team in the league is contributing $1 million a year for anywhere from their television receipts for anywhere from 15 to 25 years, so that to have owners continue to do that is a difficult thing, and what I call equal protection has been a big part of the program.
Representative Laney.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. So as I understand it, the league basically at this point has done all of what the league can do to assist.
Yes, and we haven't even voted on this project because until we have a final project, we don't bring it to the membership. But we do have the program in place. The Vikings do qualify to participate in the program under the terms that have been in place since 1999. And I would expect if we were able to get something done this year, they would be treated just exactly the same way as other teams similarly situated have been treated. And I think that would probably mean we were talking about loan support in the neighborhood of $100 million would be my guess.
Mr. Chairman.
Justin Lanning.
Could you, is this all in reference to the G3 funding?
Yes. That's what the program is called. It's just the name of our resolution that was adopted in 1999. I mean, we had the genesis of the resolution was really two things. Number one was a recognition that the days of dual-purpose tax-financed stadiums were becoming historical anachronisms. Through the 60s and into the 70s, tax-exempt state and local bonds were used all over the country to build dual-purpose stadiums. We recognized by the mid-90s that was not going to continue and that we had to step into the breach and bring the league to the table. Otherwise, we were going to have some franchise instability, which we did have in the mid-90s. So the program has been in place. It's still funded. We do have a funding issue, which is that the $1 million per club assessment, which generates $32 million a year, as I say, for 15 to 25 years to amortize debt, to amortize the loans, that's not adequate to our future needs. So as we look out at stadiums and some other locales, in some way, shape, or form, we're going to have to increase that assessment on the teams if the program is to continue.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, my question. I'm glad you came here to confirm basically the inadequacy of the Metrodome as far as football. I'm a little stunned that you've been here since you were here in 1995. We've been talking about this. My question to you is the proposal in front of us as far as in Anoka County, is that something many other teams are going towards, the big package, the over $1 billion development, the private partnership with community responsibility and involvement?
No, I would say it's relatively rare. I'd have to search my memory to see if it's unique. Certainly teams have tried to increasingly build stadiums that are central to economic development. And we've seen the movement back downtown of stadiums, such as one example would be in Detroit, where they had in the 70s, they had moved out to Pontiac, roughly 25 or 30 miles outside of Center City, Detroit, and then they've moved downtown. That's one example of a stadium geared to economic development, but not with the level of commitment that the Will family is putting into Anoka County development. At the other end of the spectrum, we are seeing right now the Dallas Cowboys moving from close to Dallas to the midpoint between Dallas and Fort Worth and engaging in a project in close proximity to a baseball stadium that has the real potential to produce economic development in Arlington, Texas. But I think that the Will family commitment is probably the largest commitment when you combine the $280 million contribution to the stadium and the ancillary economic development. My guess is that it's the largest commitment that any team or team owner will have made in the National Football League.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, I'm going to pretend spot. But if there is a rough, retractable roof on the stadium, is it a very good chance that we could get to the football here?
I cannot say anything with certainty after July 31. I think assuming the league continues its current policies, the answer to that would be yes, because we have a good, strong, demonstrated track record of holding Super Bowls in stadiums that have been built through what I call public-private partnerships. The most recent Super Bowl in Detroit was an example of that. It was something that the membership voted to do when that stadium was being financed, when Governor Anderson, the governor, and Mayor Archer was the mayor in Detroit. We have increasingly played Super Bowls in a variety of communities, such as Jacksonville, such as Houston, which were not traditionally Super Bowl venues. If you looked at traditional Super Bowl venues, I would be thinking of Miami, New Orleans, Los Angeles, San Diego, the so-called warm weather cities. And we've departed from that in the last 15 years. We've played Super Bowls in many, many different places. And that has been to bring to communities that have built new stadiums with teams the economic benefits of the Super Bowl.
Senator Rosen.
One last question, Commissioner. What is the economic boost for nowadays, the economic boost for a Super Bowl coming to your community or your state?
You know, it depends on how you do the economics or the econometrics, whatever you want to call it. But I would say that the studies that I've seen in recent years, done mostly by communities, would put that number somewhere in the $250 to $300 million range. You know, it depends, again, on the specific community. Are you adding incremental tourism to the community, or are you just replacing other tourism? Here, I think you would be adding incremental tourism. And then there's a cycle back through the community of those dollars. From my perspective, the biggest, economic stimulus of an NFL team results from what I referred to earlier, which is the equal sharing of national television. No other sports franchise in no other league brings into a community every year the kind of national television revenue that NFL teams such as the Vikings or the Packers bring into their community. I mean, just putting it very simply, this team and the Packers represent a small slice of the national television audience, but they're getting a large share of the revenue that comes from television all over America. And that's coming into your community every year, not just when you have a Super Bowl. That's unique.
Representative Sikora.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Tagliabue, first of all, thank you so much for being here. This is a great opportunity for us, especially those of us in the House who didn't always sit on the committees that heard the bill already. But I wanted to clarify, as a follow-up to Representative Lanning's question, your loan program. Would the $100 million that might be a possibility for the Vikings, is that part of the $280 they have already pledged? Or would this be in addition to the $280?
My understanding is it would be part of the way the $280 would be financed.
Oh. All right. Thank you very much.
Senator Markle?
That was my question.
Okay. Senator Kelly.
Continuing to finance $280 million out of its own resources is the gap that I alluded to earlier that we had to bridge by creating this program.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, we're a little bit schizophrenic about this. If teams come in and threaten to leave, we get upset about extortion and things like that. And then if teams like the Vikings come in and say, we're not going to leave, we're going to stay, we're going to play the games in the Twin Cities, we lose our sense of urgency about trying to do something on behalf of the team. Maybe you could summarize again what we ought to be thinking about in terms of a sense of urgency with respect to the Vikings, since Mr. Wilf has foregone the opposite tactic of threatening to leave and has instead said that he's going to continue to play the games in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, you know, I think that our approach as a league has been to try to view teams as permanent community assets. And I think in situations where it's been presented to the legislature and presented to the public without the threats of movement, as you say, sometimes there's less urgency, but I think that frequently that's outweighed by a recognition of the value of the team to the community, both as an intangible community asset and as an economic asset. And I've already alluded to why I think NFL teams are unique economic assets. They're the only ones in markets like this and even smaller markets that bring in a big slice of the national television revenue. So I guess my perspective is that what's uncertain here is the stability that we currently have. The stability with our players' association, the stability of our future television streams, the stability of this G3 program, which is not written stone and it's not guaranteed forever. It's a difficult thing to keep in place because, as an example, Jacksonville will support the building of the stadium in San Francisco by contributing $1 million a year. That is not something that a team in Jacksonville or a team in Kansas City or a team in Buffalo or a team in Green Bay does without really taking the long view and the big picture view. So my perspective is that all this is in place now. One of the reasons I'm leaving. We've accomplished a lot. I think things are stable, but as we've learned in the last decade, the nation can go from instability to instability pretty quickly.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, in all those other stadium projects that you've worked on during your tenure, have you ever seen a delay to result in a better or cleaner or cheaper solution to the problem of building a stadium?
Well, you know, when interest rates were so low, as I alluded to earlier, effective rates of 2% or whatever, sometimes taking a year or 18 months to get a deeper consensus or a different solution was worthwhile. My sense here is that you know, these issues have been looked at for a long time. As I said, I was here in 1995 talking about the same issues. And right now there's a heavy price that goes with delay, which is cost escalation. We're looking at stadiums on the West Coast in Los Angeles, Orange County, San Francisco, which we may just not be able to finance because the costs are escalating so dramatically in the area of construction, driven in part by fuel costs, which increases the cost of everything, concrete, steel, and other things. So delay is the enemy of succeeding right now because of the pressures in the economy.
Members, any further questions for either the Vikings or Commissioner? Seeing none, thank you. Commissioner, let me be the first one to recommend Senator Kelly as your replacement.
He has a lot of competition from other Democrats, Republicans, and even some independents.
Thank you both.
Anticipating November's election.
Commissioner, I'm sure the governor appreciates Representative Finstad's plug on my
Well, I've had a number of requests to put the commission clerk over until November 10th.
Thank you. All right, members. Let me lay out a few points here, and I think that will maybe stimulate a little bit of discussion, and then we will plan on recessing for the Senate and House sessions, and then we will come back and hopefully then have some proposals or some talks so we can take some votes on it. But in going with Senator Kelly and I, we've had numerous conversations about this, member, specifically related to the Vikings, that it is our intent that we do try to work with the folks involved to come to some sort of agreement or to some sort of solution. And I jokingly said the whole fourth quarter analogy, but that's just the facts. That's where we are. And if we can do it, great. If we can come up with something that actually gets the job done, great. But it is my concern that from the House position, we came into this conference committee with a Twins ballpark bill. And from the House side, that is our goal, and that is our mission to try to get that ballpark built, to get that bill passed out of this conference committee, and get something that gets the job done. So, but with that being said, we've had a great amount of discussion, Senator Kelly and I, and other members on this conference committee, and then also through the testimony. So, if there is an opportunity for us to explore the parallel path, to explore finding solutions to some of the questions, and some of those questions that I have down, and members can chime in if they have more. But yesterday the Vikings testified to three different versions: the Senate's version, the House's original version, and the no roof, no state money version. Each one of those has positives and negatives, and so we need to try to figure out if we can blend them together. Some of the new ideas we've heard in the last day and a half. Representative Westerberg testified to considering bonding for the roof. The whole TIF issue for the roof based on sales tax versus property, something that hasn't been done in the state, something that I think needs more discussion. The whole issue of the no roof, the $115 million for the I-35 intersection. Mr. Bagley just testified about potential user fees or some sort of tax on stadium services. These are all issues, members, that point to the direction of we need to work on this, we need to come up with something, but I just don't think that we can do it from the House position when we came in here with the Twins bill. So if there's an opportunity, Senator Kelly, that we could work on this, and Senator Betzolt and Representative Westerberg, if he's still here, that we could do the parallel tracking and get something to move on its own if we can get some agreements. That's something I know that we have talked about from the conferees on this side of the table that we're willing to do. So, I don't know, Senator Kelly, if you have any comments on that.
Mr. Chairman, I do. You know, I appreciate the problem-solving mode that you and the House conferees, I hope, will be in. And I understand the nervousness about trying to solve a lot of issues in one bill. But I think, as we heard, the prospect of anything improving with a year or more further delay on solving the football issue is just not likely to happen. And I wasn't on a stadium commission in 1995, but I've served on at least two stadium commissions over the years that we've been looking at this. And have spent lots of time looking at the G3 loan program and understanding how that worked, and we haven't seen, during the course of our discussions in Minnesota, we haven't seen any benefits of delay. So I do think, unless we decide we simply aren't going to do it, if that's the approach, then the challenge, I think, is to figure out a way to, and I understand, I think, you know, we've been trying to interpret the concerns that folks have expressed about the original Vikings and Anoka County proposal. And maybe the House can help us be clear about it. But the interpretation I have had, and I think other conferees have had, is that when people say the Anoka County Vikings proposal is not quite ready, that their concern is the state funding component. And that if there were a way to make it all local or make it all user-based, similar to the Twins proposal that passed the House, that if the House didn't go with the Senate solution, which doesn't have a state component, it uses the metro area base as the solution. If we don't go down that path, is there another path that doesn't involve state money? And so one of the fundamental question, I guess, is would there be support in the House for a solution that did not involve state money? I think there are some, as both Representative Westerberg and others have intimated, there might be a possible solution there. And then, you know, I think it's purely procedural question whether we do it in one bill or in two bills, if there is that kind of support. The other point I think that's important, at least from my perspective, and I think at least several of the Senate conferees take the same approach, is that at least in the, you know, in the balance of the deal, for example, the Senate, even though we came up with a different funding source, we didn't change the balance between how much was coming from the team and how much was coming from the sales tax in terms of the, except with respect to the addition of the roof. And so I think we ought to be respectful of the work that the counties and the teams did in coming to a solution. And so on the Anoka County side, the county has expressed their support for a roof as part of the deal. And I would not want us to put pressure on the partnership there to drop the roof. I think that's important. So to the extent that there's pressure on that partnership, I think that pressure is around how do you come up with a solution that does not involve state money and that in some sense approximates the Twins deal, assuming we don't do the metro solution which the Senate is advocating.
Members, any Representative Sikora.
I just wondered, Mr. Chair, if we might not have an opportunity to hear from MnDOT and maybe find out what the possibilities are. We talked about that the other day, as if it wasn't likely they would move up their scenario, but maybe they could. So if we give them a little warning and ask them to give us some information on that, that I think that might be somewhat interesting and help contribute at least to a solution. Mm-hmm. And then the House has got, you know, a solution. I was on the Stadium Commission appointed by Arne Carlson. I think it was 95, but I'm not even sure. Was it 97, 95? And we came up with Casino. And the House has had Rossino now on the agenda for a while, and that would be absolutely more than cover the cost of a roof for a new stadium.
There is all kinds of excitement around this table now.
Senator
Marco.
Representative Sikora, I'm really glad to hear that you're adding more opportunity to solve bigger problems. But I do want to go back to the fact that you are talking about the transportation component, which I think is an important part of the overall picture that we need to solve. There's the Senate position, I think, seeks to solve a large number of problems. The transportation component, the deficit piece in the Vikings proposal, just points out the fact that we have some big transportation components that need to be resolved. And the fact that the Twins piece may not may not call out the transportation piece in its proposal itself. The fact is, it is a huge component of this this facility because of its relationship to mass transit and transportation infrastructure in general. And so I think that we can't ignore that transportation component on either bill, and that's one of the reasons why the Senate felt very strongly that we should add the transit piece as part of a solution that we seek to find.
Representative Sikora.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, you know, as you look at what is in the Twins bill, Hennepin County is going to cover the cost of those pieces. Now, in the Senate proposal for the Vikings, that is not covered by the county, and theoretically it should be covered by the state, was the idea. And I was just suggesting a solution that would cover that in addition to paying for a roof. So, you know, I think you all may chuckle at the thought of Racino, but it is something that would make a big difference in the funding coming in, and there would be available additional funds. In the program that you put forth with the 5% sales tax, you aren't just paying for this little bit of construction at the $115 million. You want this to go on into perpetuity, essentially, half a percent sales tax. So it's a little different proposal than just covering the cost of the construction of the access to 35, et cetera.
Mr. Chair and Representative Sikora, what the Senate bill seeks to do is to provide for a transportation system that serves the entire region so that the entire region finds alternative choices and ways to access the stadium, which is a huge trip generator, whether it's in Anoka County or in Hennepin County. Both of those proposals are going to generate an enormous number of trips. And so we seek to find a solution that does use resources, and we also seek to find a way around the state component. That's something that I think that we need to stay focused on.
Senator Marco, I, with all respect, I do appreciate what the Senate has done and what they're trying to do, and I think you all understand our position also that it's a great debate. It's a debate that needs to happen. We just question if it needs to happen on this proposal. Because if it wouldn't be the Twins bill, we could say University of Minnesota funding. Well, students need to get to the university, so we should tack on a metro-wide tax for the transportation funding. So that's the issue, is just trying to separate the issues. A debate that probably needs to happen, and I'm not questioning your passion on the issue and the need to further the debate. We're just questioning, you know, should that happen in the transportation omnibus bill, or should it happen on a Twins ballpark proposal. So that's, I think, where Representative Sikora was going. And I think we can do this in a very respectful way and not play the politics of, you know, you're not funding this, you're funding this too much, and so on and so forth, if we get to the root of what we're here for. And I see heads nodding, and you all have been great to work with, and I think we can keep that relationship going. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do believe Representative Sikora is right in asking that MnDOT should come in. Because as I see it, no matter what happens with the Viking Stadium or the Twins, the transportation project, whether it's the I-35 exchange or any of those needs, are going to have to probably jumpstart any other needs out there to get this rolling. So we do need to get them focused and some kind of agreement out of them, too.
Thanks, Sarah. I will have staff contact MnDOT and have them be here this afternoon when we come back to give us a 15-minute brief on the Senate's it's in your version, right? Yeah, the Senate's version and what that means for I-35 and correlation other projects. Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're at the point where we need to share with each other some of our honest feelings about the issues that we're faced with here. And from my perspective, I have all along supported the Twin Stadium proposal. I have also supported the Vikings Stadium proposal and increased funding for mass transit. I just don't want to see us do all three in one bill. I think we need to separate the issues. And so what Chairman Finstead has outlined here in terms of a parallel track on Viking Stadium, I think is the right way to go. And it seems to me we need to give Anoka County and the Vikings some advice as a committee as to what are some potential solutions here that we think are doable. And we don't have a lot of time to do that. And I think we need some discussion as a group, as a conference committee, as to what are some specific suggestions that that might be acceptable to us. I want to say on the record as well that the Viking Stadium absolutely needs to have a roof. And I understand the reason for coming out with an alternative that would save some money and delete that, but I really believe strongly that a roof is needed for this project. I want to see us address all three of these issues. I just don't want us to see us address them in one bill together. And I look forward to some more discussion as to what kinds of advice we might be able to give. Time is very short, and if we're going to accomplish the Viking Stadium, we're going to have to think quickly, and Anoka County and the Vikings are going to have to move and make some decisions quickly. And it's been a little bit frustrating that they still seem to be spinning their wheels in terms of coming to an agreement there, and maybe they need a little push from us to get them unstuck.
Well, Representative Lanning, I think the push from us would be going to be ready to move here soon. And if we have the current information in front of us, I don't think anyone around this table would feel completely comfortable moving forward with both proposals combined the way they are right now. So I think the push is the state money debate. I outlined before Senator Kelly spoke to some of the concerns, you know, the state money piece, and I've said this all along to the Vikings and to others, talking to both the House majority and minority leaders. They feel that we need to separate the issues. They feel that we need to push the Vikings in Anoka County with our help to some sort of proposal that offers us an opportunity to vote on something without state money. And I think that's the challenge that lies in front of us in the next 12 hours. So if we can all work on this, and that's just the reality. I'm not trying to be smart about it. That's the reality. Senator Kelly would probably say we have 24 to...
Well, Mr. Chairman, I thought we had a little bit more time than that.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice, Senator Kelly, for us, though, to have a proposal that we can understand and other legislators then could understand before we would give them the opportunity to vote on it.
Mr. Chairman, I do think this discussion is useful, and I agree that it could be beneficial to have MnDOT and maybe the transportation officials from the county explain a little bit about what they were, the problems they were trying to anticipate. But one thing that we ought to keep in mind is that maybe the legislature could get itself bogged down if we try to oversolve the Vikings-Anoka issue. Maybe, you know, if we in a conversation come to some conclusion about what we would recommend to our colleagues about this is what we would recommend as a way of solving the problem, and we recognize we're not solving all the issues out there, but Anoka and the Vikings have shown, and with the city of Blaine, have shown an ability to work some of these things out, and as long as there's agreement that the resources are likely to be sufficient to lead to the construction of a stadium, then that's a possible approach without trying to solve all of the, for example, all of the transportation issues, that we might be able to leave some questions out there that we don't have to resolve this year. And I know members of the House have raised the question, you know, why on this bill? And I just want to say that as time went on and we were thinking about the 0.15% sales tax in Hennepin County and a 0.75% sales tax in Anoka County, without assuming that ultimately the way we would handle the transit investment would be with a metropolitan sales tax, I began to wonder, well, if we went down the road for each of those stadiums, how could you go back later and work through the issues related to adding a 0.5% sales tax? Because then in Anoka County, you'd be risking talking about a 7.75% sales tax. You'd have a really wide, you know, these variations. So I did think it was important to think about this in advance, because it's unclear how I recognize there may be differences of opinion about the need to fund transit or whether a metropolitan sales tax is an appropriate way to go. But my concern was that if we went down these paths on two different stadiums, that in effect you'd be foreclosing the potential of doing a half-cent metro sales tax if you thought about the issue separately. So that's the reason that I became an advocate for putting them all in one bill, so that we kept our options open as much as possible. I understand the concerns about doing that, and I think that over the next couple days, the Senate conferees will be working to be good partners in solving the problem.
Senator Betzel. Mr. Chair, just a procedural thought, and again, you may want to just talk to the leadership of the House on this. At the end of the day, if the words go into the law books, it doesn't matter whether it happened on one bill or two bills or three bills, but I recognize the House is in a bit of an unusual position because you only debated the Twins bill, you did not debate the Vikings bill, and that's so that may cause you to say, well, can you come back from a conference committee with two instead of one or in the tram? I understand that. But as I'm trying to think through what are options available, I don't know that we've got the time necessarily to get Representative Westberg's bill to the floor, to go through the process, do a conference committee. I mean, there isn't time to do that. So I'm hoping that if we can pull everything together, in this conference committee, on however things work out, if it's the desire to actually deal with a Vikings bill on a separate jacket, if we have things worked out, would the House be willing to just have the Westberg bill brought to the floor, put the language on there, go to the Senate, maybe the Senate can concur on that? I mean, there's ways to do that. We just have to think in advance and not wait till the end to bring that up. So.
Two comments, Senator Betzel. One, I like your tie. And two, I will talk to House leadership as we go to session now and maybe get a spreadsheet or some sort of game plan on how logistically it could happen.
Thank you.
So, with that, members, we will recess and we will come back a half hour after the last body adjourns. All right, we'll come back to order here. I believe Representative Kellar is in a meeting here for a little while, so I think, members, just to outline tonight, I think we will be patient and we'll have a fluid schedule, but it would be my wish is that we start, like I said earlier, getting our sleeves rolled up and starting getting some movement on the issue in front of us. There's been some continued work with Anoka County and the Vikings this afternoon, as we asked for this morning, so I think it would be wise for us to talk a little bit with them, and then also I have had discussions with the House leadership about if there is some sort of plan or some sort of highlighted option that the Vikings in Anoka County come out with that they would be that they would be willing to look at and give the opportunity for an up and down vote. So I think we need to talk about those ideas as we go forward. Senator Kelly, have you had discussions on that same line as far as furthering the discussion if and when Anoka County and the Vikings get together on a gleaming this is our plan and this is the one we want to go forward with? Well, is the Senate willing to?
Mr. Chairman, I have not had an opportunity to get a recent report on their conversations, but from conversations earlier in the day, it became it was very clear that the Senate proposal with the higher level of resources was more likely to lead to the actual construction of the stadium with a roof plus resolution of the transportation issue. Clearly what we've asked them to do is to see whether there's some option other than the Senate proposal that could work. And as they were approaching that, the financing was going to be tight. So I do think we need to give them an. What I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, is since what they may propose would affect the could have an effect on what the Senate would offer at this stage of the game. I'd like to have an opportunity to have the conferees visit with the Vikings and the Anoka County, and then come back and. And see what the next step might be, which is not to say that their proposal is ready to go. I don't have a good sense about that yet, but I think we could try to make some progress on at least in airing that and seeing whether, as a conference committee, their proposal has some merit in terms of being forwarded to the bodies.
All right. Thank you, Senator Kelly. So, should we, and I'm thinking out loud here, members, so if you have advice, my advice at this point then, members, would be to go into recess again for probably hour and a half to give enough time for us to gather some information and rehuddle. And
Mr. Chairman, let's say an hour so that we don't extend this unnecessarily.
That's we're moving in the right direction. What compromise? All right. Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We were talking about the possibility of MnDOT coming before us with some information about construction projects. Did that not work out? Or?
Representative Lane, I believe there's some people here, but it might not be... needed as we go forward, so I think what we'll do is take a recess for an hour, and if I know this is asking a lot, but if I could have them stick around for until 7 at that point, I think then we will know if we need to or not need to hear more from that.
Okay.
All right, so with no further discussion, members, we'll go into recess until 7 p.m.
Okay, thanks.
We will call this meeting back to order. We are going to quickly go to the folks from MnDOT to talk about their the Senate's proposal with the $115 million I-35 issue. So if we have someone from MnDOT that could come forward. Chris Roy or Betsy Parker? Welcome to committee. Thank you so much for sticking around and being patient with us. You're a trooper.
Thank
you. Welcome to committee. If you could introduce yourself, and then please proceed.
Sure. My name is Chris Roy. I work for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. I'm in the Metro District, and I'm my title is the North Area Manager, so I'm responsible for highway projects in the northern area of the Metro, Ramsey County, Anoka County, and a little portion of Hennepin County as well. Betsy Parker, who just stepped out, she'll be in as well. And Betsy Parker is our government liaison to the state, and I'm sure many of you probably know who she is as well.
All right, thank you for being here again. Members, the specific questions, I believe, were around just the details of the timeline with the language in the Senate's version of the I-35, I think it's interchange or whatever you want to call it, as far as speeding that project up in the $115 million that's in the Senate's version. Could you maybe talk to that a little bit, and I think there'll be some specific questions from members on that.
Okay. Mr. Chair and the committee, MnDOT has a process that we need to follow, set out by state and federal laws as to how we go through our planning process. We also do that with the Met Council, and we develop a plan that's a 20-year plan that's in concert with the Metropolitan Plan. That 20-year plan is what we call the Transportation System Plan, and in there it outlays projects that are fiscally constrained projects, but then also projects that are unmet needs. And 35W in this location would be a project that is not a part of our fiscally constrained plan, but it would be one of the unmet needs in the area. I see Betsy just stepped in as well. So,
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Roy, the conversation we had earlier in the conference committee proceedings was that that the current level of transportation infrastructure for the area where the proposed stadium development would be might be just barely adequate to move people in and out of a football game, but that if the projected commercial development did proceed, that at some point additional infrastructure would be necessary. To what extent has MnDOT analyzed that sort of those steps, and what's your perception of the capacity issues?
Okay, Mr. Roy. Mr. Chair, committee, what we do is we take a look at a regional traffic model to try and predict traffic projections. That traffic model does take into account some development. It might take into account some of the commercial development that might be proposed in that area, and that's how we develop our needs in the area. And the needs in this particular area are on 35W to add a lane. However, they're not a part of our fiscally constrained plan, so we've not set aside the money, nor do we know how we would have the money to do those improvements all the way out to 2030. Our plan goes out that far.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Roy, what are MnDOT's cost estimates for that piece of the infrastructure need?
Mr. Roy.
It'll take me a minute here to find it. We've got the project cost estimated. This would be in, I believe, $2,005 from the Anoka-Ramsey County line to County Road 14, estimated at $270 million. That would be a total reconstruct of 35W across that area and any necessary interchanges to be rebuilt, whether it be Highway 10 interchange or Lexington Avenue or any one of the other ones in that segment there.
Senator Kelly.
Let me think about that, Mr. Chairman, a second.
Members, any other questions? Senator Marco.
Well, Mr. Chair, I can't help but observe some facial reactions around the room for people who haven't served on the Transportation Committee and have not experienced the plight of the department and the state in terms of our financial needs and our unmet needs for transportation in the state. And I think it's a fascinating a lesson in reality. I was thinking of Representative Sikora, who was a little startled by the 2030, as was my seatmate here. So, but I think it might be, you know, it might be helpful for people to look in a little further at not just the unmet needs of the highway system, but our transit system as well. One of the reasons why Senator Kelly's bill is trying to address some of those unmet needs long term. And we are in a very desperate situation in this state with probably, I think, about $10 billion of unmet needs over the next 10 years. Is that about right? $10 billion of unmet needs over the next 10 years. That's pretty amazing.
All right. Any further questions for the department?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Kelly.
Maybe before Mr. Roy or Ms. Parker leave, I'd like to get Anoka County to say a little bit about the number that they were using and how it fits in with the MnDOT estimate. If somebody from Anoka County can help us with that.
Rather than 25 years from now, I think.
Welcome to the committee. If you could please state your name and proceed.
Mr. Chair's committee, my name is John Olson. I'm a division manager for Anoka County for Public Services. And my area includes the highway systems in Anoka County. This evening I have two documents for you to review. The number, I think the question was regarding the number that was recently indicated by MnDOT. That number exactly matches Anoka County's number for the area of improvement you inquired about. The area improvement that we are proposing as part of the stadium, however, is considerably shorter than the portion, the $270 million portion. Our estimate, I think, came out of the TSP, and our estimate for all of 35 from the south county line in Anoka to the Y, I believe, is $608 million. And I believe you'll find that number on in your document there. I'm not sure which page it's on. Actually, it's on page 2 of the second document, which I'll pass out here.
This document, the second document, is stadium specific.
And the first document was to call your attention to a number of other major improvements that are happening in the corridor. And if you look at page 5 of your document, they are called out on a map for your information. Those improvements include Arden Hills, the TCAP property, the new corporate campus for Medtronics in Moundsview, the Northwest Quarter development in New Brighton, and then the Blaine Pleasant Ridge development that we're talking about as the site of the Vikings. So the first document is a recap of those four major projects in the area, and the second document is a stadium-specific document. And our number for the improvement of 35W is exactly $270 million from the South County Line 214. Our estimate for this project in 2005 dollars is $87 million, and we expanded that to $115 million for the year of construction.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Olson, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Olson, maybe I'm not understanding it, but if we Anoka County or others, if we improve to the access at 35W to the site, and I assume since the number you're using is smaller, the $87 million number for, and that does look like it includes some I-35 freeway lanes, but I assume since it's so far different from MnDOT's number that it's not. It sounds like your number is just at that site and doesn't deal with how to move people from the site into the core of the metro area.
Mr. Chair, if you refer to page 6 of this of the second document I handed out, it indicates the land, the lane additions that are included in our proposed cost of $115 million. It includes two additional lanes from 95th Avenue South to County Road J or Trunk Highway 10 for southbound traffic, and one additional lane from County Road J for northbound traffic to Highway 10 there, and in a northbound direction, and one additional lane from Highway 10 to Old Highway 10 in a southbound direction. So The lanes we have included are not the full build-out of 35W. They are the lanes needed to accommodate the traffic impact that the stadium and development has on 35W. The other improvements included in our estimate are depicted on page 7, 8, and 9. They include a interchange at 109th Avenue and 35W, which is the north side of the stadium site, on page 7. A revamping of the 95th Avenue interchange shown on page 8, which includes direct access to 95th Avenue and adds direct access to Naples Street, which is the west road along the stadium. And it includes a circulation connection between Lexington Avenue and 101st Avenue, making the current Lexington Avenue interchange on 35W more efficient for moving vehicles into the site. So those are the major components of the $115 million that has been proposed by Anoka County in conjunction with the Vikings and their consultants.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Olson, so the do the proposed changes deal with both the stadium traffic and the development traffic?
My understanding is that they do, yes.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Olson, and so the reason that you don't do the full build out is that at least for your projections, Trunk Highway 10 is going to carry some of the burden, and we don't, you aren't figuring in the whole build out of 35W all the way down to Minneapolis, or.
We aren't figuring in the whole build-out of 35W because the whole build-out of 35W is not necessitated by this development.
But,
Senator
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Olson, it would be, according to MnDOT's projections, necessitated by wider growth patterns, I take it.
Mr. Olson.
Yes, that is correct.
All right. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Olson, I was wondering if your recommendations... And this is the first time I've heard any of this. I didn't sit in any committees where this has gone through. But is there any planned expansion for the Blaine Sports Center? And would this include any expansion beyond what we see for the Vikings proposal?
Mr. Olson.
Mr. Chair, committee member, I know that there is some expansion happening currently at the National Sports Center. Under construction, maybe nearing completion of construction. I believe that these improvements included in this document are those improvements necessitated by the development of this site and are not tied to anything other than general development numbers for the rest of the area. Certainly, as the area continues to grow over the next 20, 30 years, there's going to be additional needs in this corridor. Or we're not proposing to address those all at this time.
Senator Rosen, follow-up? Or members, any further questions? All right, thank you very much. I want to thank the folks that stayed around from MnDOT and the county to address some of the transportation issues, but I think at this time, feel free to leave. I don't think we have any further questions that we have regarding that. Our members, would be my intention in talking to Senator Kelly at this time that I think I turn it over to Senator Kelly to talk about an idea that he has, and then we will see where the conversation takes us. So, Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, we'll get this passed out to members, but let me just indicate, I think you and I both,
I don't want to leave the Vikings and Anoka County conversation. Just the our understanding is that the Vikings and Anoka County had productive meetings during the day and have had an opportunity to talk with the conferees and perhaps I think got some constructive suggestions with respect to the progress that they had made on refining an agreement. And so, although the possibility was that they would be prepared to talk about that this evening, I think they'd like the opportunity to go back and work some more on that and have a further conversation about that tomorrow. So that's the reason that we're not, as I understand it, Mr. Chairman, not talking about the work that the Anoka County and the Vikings have been engaged in during the day today, because it may change somewhat before tomorrow. So the Senate, trying to pay attention to some of the concerns that have been expressed. For example, I know that Representative Sikora raised the concern about the focus just on transit. So this revision addresses potential investment in metro area roads as well as transit with the proceeds of the 0.5% metro-wide sales tax. And then Chairman Bell from the Metropolitan Council raised concerns about the Metropolitan Council's capacity to deal with the quantity of funding that would be involved, and the Metro Transit Development Board has been actively involved in transit development, and so we're suggesting that maybe that would be a better conduit for the funding to actually get transit built. And then, Mr. Chairman, one of the things that's been clear from the conversation with the teams and the counties is that we're at risk of not building state-of-the-art facilities because the funding sources are more tightly constrained than would be necessary to actually build first-class facilities. I think that's one of the reasons the Vikings in Anoka County are struggling, is that the 0.75% sales tax in Anoka County only doesn't produce enough revenue to close the gap on building a first-class facility. And a 0.15% sales tax in Hennepin County doesn't produce enough to put a roof on the ballpark. And so we're still trying to figure out a way to build stadiums that both of which have roofs and also do transportation and transit investments. And certainly we heard the testimony regarding the needs. I think it became clear from our conversations yesterday that even if Anoka County and the Vikings could come to some agreement on non-state sources for closing the $115 million gap in financing the project itself, they weren't going to be able to find the money using non-state sources to fund the transportation issues that Mr. Olson and Mr. Roy were just talking about. So one of the virtues of the Senate plan, I think, is that we do have the resources to address that transportation problem as well as other transportation problems and keep a roof on the Twin Stadium along with the Viking Stadium. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't know whether you want to confer, but I'd be happy to answer any questions the House conferees may have.
All right. Members, we have questions at this point. I have a couple off off the top of my head here, and then I think maybe we would just take a quick recess to discuss this. But with the Metro-wide sales tax and this offer, does the language then of the original proposals specific to the teams and the counties exist as far as this proposal then being still being site-specific?
Mr. Chairman, it does. I think, you know, there was an opportunity after this last stadium commission where, you know, outlined some criteria for development and local units of government along with the teams had an opportunity to submit proposals. I remember that Eden Prairie at one point came in and said, if somebody else will provide the funding, we'd like to do something, and nobody did, and Eden Prairie wasn't able to pull together a proposal, and so I think this proposal respects the work that both Hennepin County and the Twins have done, and the site they chose, and the work that Anoka County and the Vikings have done, and the site they chose.
One further question I had, Senator Kelly. I see this proposal has a referendum on it. In the testimony that we have had through the hours upon hours in the House, and then in this conference committee, it was talked about by both the Twins, the counties, Vikings, Mayor Rybak, others, about how this is essentially a deal killer. Call it what you will. Do you feel that this proposal actually would get a ballpark built, get a Viking stadium built? Do you, with all due respect, then, would you be disagreeing with their testimony?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know that we may have to address some issues with respect to delay costs, but I was encouraged by the Star Tribune data on the fact that there was broader support for a metro area sales tax than for some other solutions to the ballpark issues, at least in the one survey. Now, that snapshot may not be enough by itself, but I thought that was an encouraging sign.
I just saw a poll that had you ahead in the governor's race. That was probably an encouraging sign also.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I acknowledge that poll has a large margin of error.
I would agree. All right, any further questions? Representative Keller.
I don't know how we recovered after that one, Mr. Chair, but can I ask about the Metro Transit Development Board? I know that we heard from Commissioner McLaughlin last night that he's the current chair of that. I just don't know what their funding streams are and sort of if they actually appropriate money right now or not, or if it's a policy-making board. Maybe someone can help.
I might be able to help. They are a joint powers board, and, of course, there is one member from each of the seven counties. And so they pay in as a county. You know, they divvy up their expenses as a development board. But they do not receive the funding stream. It's actually the Met Council that receives the funding stream. And so they're there to try to have some input and some impact on the way the transit system is developed. But as Senator Kelly said, the Metropolitan Council seems clearly uncomfortable with developing using those resources in what Chair Bell described as an efficient way by leveraging enough federal dollars to pay for it. And I think that Peter McLaughlin would probably argue that many other regions have gone ahead and paid for their own without having to leverage the federal dollars, because who can wait that long? And if we wait as long as necessary to leverage federal dollars for our entire transportation system, both transit and roads, we're going to be waiting a lot past 2030 because those dollars are not coming in as fast as projected. So that's their role that they play, and I think that the counties have expressed an interest if we are to have a seven-county metro area sales tax, that they would like to have a seat at the table, and MTDB seems to be a comfortable place to put that responsibility.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Keller.
I was just concerned about creating a dual-track Met Council process here, and knowing how that has not worked out for the legislature in the past on issues like this, but that would be my concern, and also capacity issues there in terms of not being the body that currently receives funding and what comes with that in terms of startup and all of that. But
Mr. Chair.
Senator Markle.
Representative, for many years, and I know this occurred when I was serving alongside you in the House as well, and many of your colleagues in the House have had discussions for the last at least 10 years about governance structure. Mm-hmm. And there's been a real struggle about the governance structure on the transit system. And so just as we have a governance structure that we address in this bill related to stadiums and who operates them, we also need to address this issue in terms of, at one point or another, and especially if we're going to start talking about a large amount of dollars, we need to resolve the governance structure. And it's not like this is a new idea that's been just recently dreamed up. This idea has been talked about for quite some time and would be more easily supported by the counties that would be participating.
Mm-hmm. Senator Kelly.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to emphasize the last point that Senator Marco made. I didn't see the comments by the governor that Senator Marco mentioned earlier, but I do think that if we want county boards to play a role to say, yeah, we think heading in this direction is a good idea, it is a political problem for them that they don't have any role to play in the distribution of the collections from the tax. If we're going to get county boards to step up and say we support this idea, having a role for them was part of the Senate's thinking in putting this offer together.
Any further questions? Representative Laney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Kelly, I don't know if you've heard this yet or not, but today we passed our omnibus transportation bill. And that bill calls for a change in the constitutional amendment language that it's a bill I carried to change that language to be a hard and fast 60-40. Can you tell us, since I'm not sure where this issue stands in the Senate, can you share with us where that issue stands and how that relates to this proposal?
Mr. Senator Chairman, Representative Lanning, Senator Marco probably knows more about the specifics, but Senator Murphy did have a bill. I don't know if it's the precise companion to the bill that passed the House floor today, and there was an amendment to add the hard split, and my recollection is that that amendment was adopted by a one-vote margin in the Senate, and then I believe the bill passed the Senate floor. Now, I don't know if they may not match up with each other. That's the question I'm carrying around.
Mr. Chair, what happened was it has to be a House file because there's bonding money in there. So after the Senate voted on it, Senator Murphy tabled the bill. Presumably tomorrow when the House file comes over, Senator Murphy will put the Senate language onto that and then send that back to the House.
Representative Lane.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would hope that the Senate would adopt a very similar kind of position that we have in the House. We did have an amendment to change this to an 80-20, which I opposed, and fortunately that was voted down by the House, which I think is an indication on the part of the House that there is sensitivity to the need for additional funding for transit. And I would hope that the Senate would take that as a good faith effort on the part of the House to support your call for better funding for transit.
and that you would take that into account. And as I said earlier today, I believe that we ought to provide additional funding for transit. I support that, but that issue should be kept separate from the two stadiums, and these three issues ought to be kept separate.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lanning, I support more and different sources for transit operations, whether they're in the metropolitan area or in greater Minnesota. And I assume that, and Mr. Bell's comments last night reinforced my belief that should the constitutional amendment pass, that at least with respect to transit, we would be talking about primarily operating subsidies rather than a significant change in the capital investment. Whereas we know with respect to the road portion of that amendment, it would all go into capital infrastructure. And what I've been concerned about is that even though we have made some progress on transit infrastructure recently, the progress nowhere near matches the growth in the Twin Cities metro area. And I've been certainly not as informed an observer as and participant as Senator Marco has been, but I've watched us struggle to deal with gas tax increases and the balance between the metro area and greater Minnesota. And I just think it's time for the metro area to step up and say, if we want to have an infrastructure that matches the growth we have seen as well as the growth we see coming, now's the time to do it. And especially where making these decisions now will help facilitate getting the stadiums into positions where they're successful. There's gaps in funding, the connection between North Star and Hiawatha. We aren't sure where we're going to get the money for that in the vicinity of the Twin Stadium, let alone the problems we just heard about tonight on getting people to the area of development of a Viking stadium. So I do appreciate your support for the transit money that's called for in the constitutional amendment, but I also note that that is a, you know, that there's that some of that money is going to come out of the general fund in order to be dedicated that way, and right now $77 million of transit operating money comes out of the general fund, and who knows what a future legislature is going to do in trying to cover the general fund shift to the dedicated MBES dollars.
Members, any further questions or comments? I would have one final question here. In this proposal, Senator Kelly, then, is there a sunset on this metro-wide sales tax, or is it ongoing?
Mr. Chairman, it's still ongoing as per the original Senate bill. If that would get me the House's support, I'm sure we could talk about a sunset, Mr. Chairman.
All right, any further questions? If it's all right with the Senate folks, we're going to let's take 15 minutes. We'll come back at 8:45. We'll be in recess. All right, we'll get this thing going here again. The House, Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the Senate offer.
Senator Kelly moves the Senate offer to that motion. I will comment on it, and then we'll open it up if there's any discussion on that motion. My comment would be simply this, that from the House perspective, this is essentially the offer that was sent over us on the House floor. So if we were to willing to accept this and willing to go forward with this proposal, we simply could have done it. Granted, there is a little difference, but we could have done this by just concurring with the Senate file that was sent over. We understand the position, we understand the offer, and I know and I hope you all understand that this is a proposal that we can't go along with, and it's a proposal that we just don't have the votes in the House to do, and ultimately we feel that this is a proposal that doesn't get the job done. We understand, and when I say we, I'll speak for myself. I understand the passion and the interest of furthering the debate on the transit issue. I have learned more about the transit issue in the Twins Ballpark Conference Committee than I have thought I would. I just got started,
Representative.
I look forward to it, Senator Marco. I am now considering asking to be on the Transportation Committee in the next term. But again, it comes down to this, members, that from the House perspective, we came here with the Twins Hennepin County Ballpark proposal, and that's what we want to work towards. We do not feel at this time, scratch that, we do not feel that this proposal gets that done. So with that, members, is there any further discussion on the Kelly motion? Seeing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the Kelly motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
Nay. The motion does not pass.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, it's getting a little late, and I, you know, my sense or my hope is that further progress could be made tomorrow after we've had a chance to see whether Anoka County and Hennepin County can refine the good effort that they've put in today, and so maybe before the House makes a counter proposal, we ought to break for the evening and see what the Vikings in Anoka County can come back to us with.
To that point, Senator Kelly, I want to point out that from the House perspective, we've been very patient with this, and it's hard for me to be patient, so I'm really working my best. 95% of the discussion in this conference committee has rallied around the Vikings proposal. So we've been more than open to hear the proposal, the multiple proposals. I think we're up to 4 or 5 or 6 with a couple interesting dynamics within that. And we've entertained every one of them, and I think we've been very open to working with, and we continue to be open with that. But we also are committed to getting our sleeves rolled up, as I've said many times, and that's a farm analogy I use probably too much. But at some point, Senator Kelly and members, we have to move on. And we have to move on and get the job done that, from the House perspective, we were sent here to do. With that, I want to, members, just quickly a couple minutes, if I could have maybe someone from Hennepin County and the Twins just come up for a second, just to maybe a couple questions here, members, and then we will see where that goes. I first want to thank Mr. Bell and Mr. Opat, Commissioner Opat, for being patient and sticking out through all this. Like I stated, and as you well know, this has been 95% other issues than the issues that you both are here. Maybe some opinion and advice on the Senate's proposal that just happened, and maybe if you could give us some advice going forward here on how we can help you with the proposal that that you see as something that can get a job done. And I know I'm putting you on the spot with that, but I think it's important that we start refocusing back to, at least from the House perspective, what we came here to do.
Now, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Opat can speak for himself. Our view is that we spent the better part of 8 or 9 months, I think, working on what we felt was a package that was interdependent on each element of the package. If parts of it fell off, the package fell apart because it was one component was dependent on another. But at the end of our negotiations and after our ownership and Commissioner Opat's colleagues agreed to this, we believed that we had a package that filled the ballpark. We felt it was simple, we felt it was straightforward, and we felt that it gets it done. We needed the legislature to vote on that, either agree or not agree. It's your choice. But we would like to have it voted on as the package was presented. Mike?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's a little more dangerous territory for me as a county commissioner to give advice to a conference committee. We try not to give too much advice to the legislature, as as local elected officials.
Commissioner, we try to tell you what to do every day.
And we understand that we need to listen to that, every word of it. But I think dating back to the history of this, from the county perspective, when we proposed in a virtual situation a couple years ago and that didn't go anywhere and we were, you know, who's going to own the team and all that, going back to that history with no specificity and trying to answer questions where there was no agreement and then sitting down and eyes wide open saying, okay, could this work between us and what would it take? Not knowing we would ever get to yes and spending those weeks and months doing that. I think my colleagues and I who have taken public votes on this, who have taken plenty of input from a lot of places, and we'd like to think we didn't take those votes for naught. We'd like to think we didn't spend those hours and hours of debate in the county boardroom for naught. We'd like to know that whether we proceed. I appreciate the Senate's interest in transit. We heard from one of my colleagues and a ballpark supporter as well as a transit supporter, Commissioner McLaughlin, last night. But speaking for myself and I think for majority of the board, we'd like a vote on this agreement. We'd like to know if we're going to go forward or not. And we'll wait. We understand the calendar. We understand what's going on here. We'll be patient, but we'd like that vote. And any proposal that doesn't involve the county, then, well, you know, if it's going to be another entity that's going to end up negotiating with the team, you know, prefer that didn't happen, I guess.
Thank you. Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Opat, did the House bill reflect the agreement between the Twins and Hennepin County?
Commissioner. By and large, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Opat, my recollection is that the agreement between the Twins and Hennepin County had language in it related to funding for libraries and youth sports. My recollection is that it had a limit on the profit recapture provision on the sale of the team. I assume Mr. Bell still thinks that's important. So I'll ask my question again. Did the House bill reflect the agreement between the Twins and Hennepin mm-hmm. County?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kenny, I said by and large, yes. Not exactly, no, it did not. We would like to pursue some changes, but Senator Kenny, for them
to that point, I like the direction we're going because that's what the five of us here are willing to work with and to work on are some of those things that your original bill, the bill that you and I introduced together, had in it. And if we can get back towards looking at some of those things, by no means, you know, kicking the other proposals to the curb entirely, but if there's other opportunities to look at that outside of the context of getting this done, I mean, that's... I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. And I think that's what we feel we were sent here to do. Maybe I'm wrong. Senator Kelly.
And Mr. Chairman, you know, I'm sympathetic to Commissioner Opat's point about the work that the Twins and the County Board have done on this. But I also feel that Anoka County and the Vikings have spent... may not be the exact same amount of time, but also have gone through those same hard votes. I know that those county commissioners are hearing from constituents the same way that Hennepin County commissioners are. And so my concern is that, you know, the legislature only has this opportunity once a year to enable the team and the county to get something done, and we're not going to lose that opportunity with respect to the Twins and Hennepin County this year. I've just been trying to get people to figure out why we should lose that opportunity with the Vikings and Anoka County this year and incur all the delay and other things that go along with that. Mr. Chairman, I understand that you and the House conferees have been patient in talking about this, but... Mr. Bell and I have been involved in multiple stadium commissions and long hours of discussions about things that didn't build ballparks, and I understand his desire to get something done. I share it after all these years, shared it 4 years ago when we passed a bill that didn't build a ballpark because it didn't offer Hennepin County an opportunity to participate. So I just don't want to repeat that mistake with respect to the Vikings and see the costs of, I was just, maybe before tomorrow we'll dig up that article from the New York Times about the Los Angeles proposal, because they're trying to figure out the cost of building a NFL ballpark or stadium inside the Los Angeles Coliseum. And one of the speculations in the article was that the cost for building any of these things is starting to escalate out of control, and no matter what market you're in, you may not be able to afford to build one if we wait much longer. So that's one of the senses that's certainly been motivating the Senate in trying to pay attention to this range of transit to the Vikings to the Twins.
Hi, members, any representative Sequoia?
I would just like to make a comment, Mr. Chair and Senator Kelly. As far as I'm concerned, I would like very much to get a Vikings thing done, but it has to be done in the next 2 days. And I do think that we are kind of ready to move on the Twins, and we should probably go ahead and do that and then concentrate on trying to figure out what else we're going to do with the Vikings, because we have spent 2 days now, literally, listening to stuff on the Vikings, which has been very interesting and a learning experience, I think, for our side, because we had not heard those bills. So, I'm still very open to doing something for the Vikings, and I would hope that we can, since I'm one of the big fans and have been since I'm about 18. When did we first get that team?
1961.
Oh, I was about 18. So, just for the record.
And Senator Kelly. Mr. Chairman, Representative Square, I think that's helpful.
All right, members, any further questions for the Twins or Hennepin County? Thank you both.
Thank you all.
All right. Getting back to process and timelines. We have, as I stated, we have, at least from the House side, been educated in a short amount of time of the multiple Vikings and Anoka County proposals. Now, I don't want to, I'm not saying that at all to belittle their original plan. And I know that because of the concerns that maybe we and others have raised, they've then tried to morph their plan into different opportunities. But my question then to Senator Kelly would be, at what point do we say we can go on with the Twinsville? I mean, I know that we've kept the issue alive to try to get to some conclusion with the Vikings proposal. And I think that's good. I mean, I think that's created some great conversations, great discussions, and actually some movement towards a potential solution that not only works for the team and the county, but also for us as legislators, something that can pass this place and something that, hopefully the governor could sign. So my question is, do we, with time running out, do we simply just say, we're going to continue to see them work on it, or is it your wish then tomorrow we have a proposal that we would be ready to talk about? We could talk about it tonight, we can talk about it tomorrow, but at what point do you say, I apologize for putting you on the spot, but at what point do you say that I think that we need to start separating the issues? And with that being said, not separating them to the point where we're kicking one or the other to the curb, but separating it to the point where we can actually get at least one portion of this job done and move on.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the Senate conferees would want to talk about it, so I'll just speak about it from my point of view. But I think we are going to proceed to trying to get something done for the Twins in Hennepin County, and I hope for the Vikings in Anoka County, and if we can get something done on transit, that would be great. But I understand, and we've gotten the message loud and clear that the House is concerned about a bill leaving here that would have both stadiums in it, and so I've appreciated the comments you've made, Mr. Chairman, regarding finding a vehicle if an agreement can be reached, and I think we'd like to be able to see those pieces coming together. and given the speed with which this place can sometimes work with the right motivation, that could happen tomorrow, but it might not come together until Thursday. But I, you know, I'm optimistic. If we can get some pieces put together tomorrow, that might work. But given the, also the, I told the Vikings in Anoka County a week ago that we needed something by Friday, last Friday, and it's taken them a while to get to this point. So,
all right, members, any discussion on that point or any others? Any discussion? Okay, well, I think then, members and Senator Kelly, like I said, we have a proposal that we have worked out. I think we would be ready to go over that. What would your wish be as far as tomorrow goes? What do you outline tomorrow to look like?
Mr. Chairman and members, I believe there's a Senate DFL caucus at 8:45. I believe I have a bill on the Finance Committee agenda somewhere around 9:30, so the morning looks a little full. So I would anticipate convening a conference committee in the afternoon, after half hour after the last body adjourns, and I would expect that by that point we'd have a very clearly understood and clearly explainable possibility from the Vikings for what we could move on, and we could start to think about how to make that happen.
Oh, I just wondered, and assuming we can do something with the twins tomorrow, too.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Sequeira, that's certainly a possibility.
All right, members, bear with me one second. Could I get someone from the Vikings in Anoka County up here quick? You're a trooper, Mr. Bagley. My question would be this, with what Senator Kelly has just outlined, and not to take words out of context, but maybe I'll just phrase it my own way, put a little more teeth in it. Do you feel tomorrow, by the time we meet, can we look at that as a deadline? Can we look at that as an opportunity for you to say, here's what we have, this is it?
Mr. Chair, I think we will have something for you tomorrow as soon as you meet.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, we'll have something for you tomorrow.
All right, so I...
We meet.
So
you meet.
So then I can operate under the assumption then by the time we convene this conference committee tomorrow, we will know with one direct message from both of you where we're going to go, and then at that point we can then as a conference committee start making some real decisions. Correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Senator Johnson.
Yeah, you didn't even look at that one for you tomorrow. And you'll have...
All right, members, any questions here? Are we good? Okay. With that being said, then, members, we will sit this thing out a few more hours, and tomorrow the House will be prepared to go over our offer. So we will now be adjourned.